the title of the sermon is Genesis chapter 10. So before we start in Genesis chapter 10, let's go over a quick summary of Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, we see God bless Noah and his three sons. He tells them to be fruitful and multiply. God tells them that every moving thing that lives shall be meat for them. Every living thing. Genesis 9, verse 3. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So and also in Genesis chapter 9, what do we see? We see the death penalty implemented by God. Genesis 9, verse 6. Death penalty. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So we also see several new commandments to Noah and his three sons. So God wants them to be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth. He doesn't tell them to take birth control. So think about what just happened, right, with the flood. Think about that. Think if you were in their shoes right there. What just happened? Noah and his family alone survived the flood. So the flood killed everybody else, every single person. So you have a chance now to start over and do it the right way. Think if God just took everybody else out of this earth and you had a chance to start over and do it the right way. So you just saw the judgment of God on the entire world. That should change you, shouldn't it? Genesis 9, verse 12. And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." So God promises that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. He says no more. He gives us the rainbow right there to remind us. And that rainbow, guess what? It still shows up in the sky for us. So God puts those amazing rainbows that no one else could have created. Right? I mean, they just show up in the middle of the sky. They're amazing. So these beautiful rainbows just pop up in the sky and people just ignore them like they're nothing. But in Genesis chapter 9, we see the sons of Noah go forth from the ark. You have Shem, Ham, Japheth. The oldest is Japheth, then Shem, then Ham is the youngest. So we see Noah become a husbandman or a farmer, and he has a vineyard. So remember again what Noah and his family just went through. New chance to start fresh and stop all the sin. It doesn't take long for them to mess up, does it? Genesis 9, verse 21. "And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without." So Noah gets drunk from the wine. He's uncovered or naked within his tent. So we talked about this in detail in the Genesis chapter 9 sermon. But Ham was evil and wicked. Ham saw the nakedness of his very own father. So it doesn't appear Ham had much fear of his own father or the fear of God. So if anybody ever tried anything like that with me, you better run. No fear of Noah from his son Ham or God. None. So after everything that Ham had seen, he didn't care. Do you see that? After all of that, Ham didn't care. God saved him, protected him on the ark. Don't care. So there are many examples throughout the Bible of God showing His power and might through miracles. Is there not? And that didn't convince any of those people either. In the book of Revelation, all of God's wrath being poured out, that won't change their mind either. So Exodus chapter 32 is another example. God brings the people out of Egypt with many miracles. They see them all with their own eyes. They get out of Egypt and they start to worship false gods immediately. They didn't care about God. They didn't love God. They had no fear of God. None. After seeing His miracles of great power. Hey, don't be like that. Right? Do not be that way. God gave you this life. Do something with your life for God. Do something for Him. Show Him that you understand what He's done for you. That's what He wants. Genesis 9, verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, right? Are you seeing this? And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So we see Noah curse the son of Ham, who is Canaan, which is important to Genesis chapter 10. And on, throughout the whole Bible, we're going to see more details in Genesis chapter 10. So Noah blesses Shem and Japheth, right? Both of them. Notice that God says He will enlarge Japheth. So we learned that the Gentiles come from Japheth in a recent study we did, right? The Bible is truth. The Gentiles, guess what? They have been enlarged. But God curses Canaan, the son of Ham, because of what Ham did, right? He curses his son. Hey, that can happen. Be careful, because God can do things to your children. So you need to wake up. And if you love your children, you don't want God doing that to your children when it was your fault. So look, we also learn to not get drunken as Noah did. Guess what? Good things don't happen when you're drunk. Obviously. So very bad sexual things can happen when you're drunken. Don't get drunken as Noah did. Genesis 9 verse 28. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. Hey, that's a long time after the flood. And all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. Emma, did you know Noah was 950 years old when he died? That's old. She calls me old. No, that's old. So look, we see Noah die right at the end of Genesis chapter 9, right? Noah dies at the end of Genesis chapter 9. Noah lived 950 years. That's a long life. So now let's move right into Genesis chapter 10, starting there in verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. So no one else was left after the flood except these eight. Just Noah and his family. Noah and his wife, Japheth, the oldest son, and his wife, right? That's four so far. Shem, the middle son, and his wife, that's six. Ham, the youngest, and his wife, that's eight. And notice that Ham did have a wife. He had a wife. Eight people on earth after the flood. And under the three sons of Noah were sons born after the flood. So everyone living today came from these three. Right? Shem, Ham, Japheth. So everybody living today came from Noah and one of his three sons. So to study these three sons of Noah, I searched through their names, right? Searched through the Bible for their names. And I looked for Shem, right? Shem, and found his name 17 times total. Genesis 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and 11. So then I found him in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, which you should be familiar with. Those are the genealogies, and that's it. You don't see Shem in any other places. Then I looked for Japheth 11 times total in the Bible. Genesis 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10. Then you also see Japheth in the genealogies of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And that's it. Well, what about Ham? That's when you find out more when you study Ham. So let's see. We find Ham in 16 different places in the King James Bible. Genesis 5, 6, 7, 9, 10. 1 Chronicles 1, as expected. But then we see Ham in some additional scriptures, which we're going to learn from. And let's read some of those. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 39. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we see the Bible talking about the tribe of Simeon of the children of Israel. So that's much further down the line from Ham, right? Ham's all the way back to Noah, and then we go all the way to the children of Israel, or Jacob, and we see Simeon. So the tribe of Simeon increased greatly. They needed pasture for their flocks because they had a lot. So they're going out saying, hey, where can I find land for our flock? So they go to the entrance of Gedor unto the east side of the valley. The land was good land and peaceful, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. So what do they do? 1 Chronicles 4, verse 41. Watch what they do. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, so you know about when that happened, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. So Ham, right there, was destroyed utterly unto this day. The tribe of Simeon, a child of Israel, destroys him. Hey, but they're all family, right? We all come from Noah. We're all family. So when did that happen? In the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, no one of Ham was left there. So who was the son of Ham? Canaan. If we go back in time from 1 Chronicles to Judges. So we're in 1 Chronicles here, right? So I'm moving back to Judges. Remember all the kings, Judges was before all of the kings. So if we go back to Judges, we see this. Judges 1 verse 16, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath, and utterly destroyed it. Do you see that? And the name of the city was called Hormah. So as you can see, the tribe of Simeon right there played a big part in getting rid of the Canaanites and Ham's descendants. And then later on, there's still some Ham left in the area, and Simeon gets rid of them too. So Simeon was the second oldest son of Jacob, or Israel. Their land was in the south with Judah. Where's the land of Simeon? In the south with Judah. So they were located closer to Egypt with the tribe of Judah. Remember that. I've got maps coming up here later. So all inhabitants of the earth, they came from Japheth, Shem, and Ham. What else do we see about Ham in the Bible? We can learn even more than this. Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Psalm 78, the very next verse, 44. And had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them. Remember all of these plagues? And frogs, which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. Next verse. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Next verse 50. He made a way to His anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. You know who He's talking about here? Ham, right? Look what He did to Noah. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. So when you read that, now you know who those people were. The tabernacles of Ham, but made His own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. God was taking care of His own people. And who were those people? The ones who believed on Him, right? The children of Israel. God's chosen people that He chose to give all the oracles of God to. But not all of them believed either, did they? And He doesn't hesitate to destroy them either. So now we see God smiting all the firstborn of Egypt. And do you see what that says in verse 51 right there? And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. So Egypt and Ham go together within the Bible. So I wanted to show this map so you can see where Israel was located. And this was about the time of David. You know, it's constantly changing, right? Because there's always fighting going on. So you can see where Israel was located there approximately in the red. So then you see Egypt down on the lower left, right? You see Syria in the middle there. So Mesopotamia up to the right, Assyria further east there in the north, and then you see the Medes and the Persians on the far right. And you see Chaldea, Babylon. So if you look closely, right, Chaldea there, Babylon right there in the middle, right of the map. So we're going to talk about Babylon a little later in this sermon. So notice that Egypt is down by the Red Sea that God parted for the children of Israel. Psalm 105, verse 23, Israel also, right, you just saw where they were at, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, right, that's Egypt, and he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. So Israel, Jacob comes into Egypt, and Jacob sojourns in the land of Ham. Ham's area is Egypt. Psalm 105, verse 25, very next verse right here. He turned their heart to hate His people. Right? That's what God did. To deal subtly with His servants. He sent Moses, His servant, and Aaron, whom He had chosen. They showed His signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. So we see God using Egypt and Ham interchangeably. Egypt equals Ham. God says so. And one last verse in the Bible using the word Ham. Psalm 106, verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Hey, don't forget God. They just forgot what He did. Great things in Egypt. Wondrous works in the land of Ham. And terrible things by the Red Sea. So without a doubt, Ham is Egypt, is it not? So Ham's descendants moved down into the area we call Egypt. So down by the Red Sea. With that said, let's keep going in Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Rephath and Togarmah, and the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. So we did an entire Bible study on these scriptures recently titled, Who Are the Gentiles? So the Gentiles come from the sons of Japheth. So remember, the word isles is found and Gentiles. So they went to the literal edges of the earth where the sea meets the land, right? That's the edges of the earth. It's where the water meets the land. So they're an ancient people that go all the way back to Japheth. So if you pay attention to the names of the sons of Japheth, you'll see many of them mentioned throughout the Bible. Gomer and Magog, remember these. Meshach and Tubal. Ezekiel 38 verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold," you don't ever want to hear this, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal." So now we're in Ezekiel, which is much, much later than Noah and his son Japheth, right? Much later. You see Magog mentioned here. You see Meshach and Tubal. Let's keep reading in the next verse, verse 4 of Ezekiel 38. "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Verse 5, "Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee." So now you see Gomer and Togarmah there. We must keep all these names in mind as we study. God put them there for a reason. They're very important in understanding prophecy and what's happening within the Bible. So many of these names we're reading about there in Ezekiel, those names are sons of Japheth or the Gentiles. So we don't just skip over all the names because they're very important. We just saw Gog and Magog in Ezekiel chapter 38. Magog was one of the sons of Japheth. So the area that he lived was named after him. Revelation 20 verse 8. "And shall go out to deceive the nations," all the way forward to the end of the Bible, Revelation 20. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." Hey, that's a lot of people. So towards the very end of the Bible, we see Gog and Magog again. There's a whole lot of people. They go to the ends of the earth. They form the nations of the earth. They are in the four quarters of the earth, everywhere. So now you know where the names behind the battle of Gog and Magog came from. So if you look again at Genesis chapter 10, verses 2 through 5, we see additional names. Madai, M-A-D-A-I, is not seen anywhere else in the Bible but these genealogies that are listed out. Javan is seen a few additional times, and here's one of them. Isaiah 66, verse 19, "And I will set a sign among them." Remember, that's the last chapter in the book of Isaiah, right? Just like 66 books of the Bible. So you can kind of compare it to Revelation. "And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." Verse 20, "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mount Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord." Do you see that? He's going to take of them for priests and for Levites. Of who? Of the Gentiles. You say, oh, that can't happen. So I want you to see that. We learn many things by simply studying the scriptures with all of these names. So you see Tubal and Meshach in Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. Ezekiel 32, verse 26, "There is Meshach, Tubal and all her multitude, right? Lots of people. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they caused their terror in the land of the living. You know, when they were alive here, they caused terror everywhere, but what are they now? And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen of the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war, and they have laid their swords under their heads, but their iniquities shall be upon their bones, though they were the terror of the mighty in the land of the living. So I'm not going to go through all of the names because we'll never finish Genesis chapter 10. But we will spend some time in the future studying many of these names. So one mystery from the Bible that God has made clear to us is that anybody can be saved. Doesn't matter where you're from or what nation you're from or what family you were born into. Doesn't matter what tribe you come from. It doesn't matter if you come from Japheth or Shem or Ham. Hey, descendants of Ham could be saved too. Japheth's descendants, they can be saved. Shem's descendants, obviously, Abraham was one of them, they can be saved. Egyptians can be saved. Egyptians can also go to hell. Descendants of Shem, through Abraham, the physical descendants, they can also go to hell. Anyone can be saved. And that happens, how? How can you be saved? One requirement, by believing on God Almighty as the Savior of the world. And we're going to go through all of that scripture again. Just kidding. So look, simply believe what God says and He will save you. And it's everywhere in the Bible. It's throughout the whole Bible. One requirement, believe on Jesus Christ to save you. That's all you got to do. All your trust on Him, right? And anybody can do that, God says. So look, were most of the immediate descendants of Ham, most likely, do you think they were good people? The ones that were really close to Ham? Most likely they were wicked people. But it doesn't mean that some of them weren't saved and that some of them weren't wicked. Some of them could have been saved at the end of their life. And said, hey God, I believe on you now. So let's keep going in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Raamah, and Sabtika, and the sons of Raamah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. So Cush is the first son of Ham that is mentioned. So if we look for Cush throughout the Bible, we find this. Isaiah 11, verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria," right? You saw the map earlier, Assyria, "and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." Hey, guess what? God has people, He's trying to tell you right here, in every nation. These are the people who believe on Him. It's not because it's where who your dad is. It's because you trust in God, and then you're His people. So people from Cush obviously have been saved, right? He says so right there. And the nation of Cush started with a son of Ham. And you can study all these people on your own throughout the Bible. It's going to take you a long time. So again, Canaan is the fourth son of Ham that we see listed there, right? Canaan. Canaan is the one who is cursed, right? Canaan is the cursed one. So the son of Ham who is named Canaan was cursed because of Ham's wicked act against his father Noah. So if you look for Canaan in the Bible, if you look up the word Canaan and all the different versions of Canaan, like Canaan, Canaanite, Canaanite, so on, you'll find 163 matches in 157 verses of the Bible. So that's a lot. There's a lot about Canaan in the Bible. So the first mention of Canaan is in Genesis chapter 9. So the last mention of Canaan in the Bible is in the book of Mark. Mark 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Next verse, 18. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Hey, Simon the Canaanite, hey, he's not the one that betrayed Jesus. And the multitude cometh together again, verse 20, so that they could not so much as eat bread. Verse 21, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. So we see Simon the Canaanite is one of the 12 disciples. He was one of the good disciples who believed on Jesus Christ. So not all the Canaanites were bad. So I want to take a few minutes here to focus on Nimrod. Genesis 10, verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. So Ham was Nimrod's grandfather. That's who Ham was to Nimrod. So most likely, Nimrod wasn't the greatest guy as Ham is his grandfather. Just taking a guess there. Nimrod began to be a mighty one in the earth. And we'll see what that means here as we continue. Genesis 10, verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Right? He's a mighty hunter. Does that save you? Well, I'm a mighty baseball player. God's got to let me into heaven because He needs baseball players up there. No, doesn't matter. He doesn't need hunters. God is the hunter. He doesn't need anybody's help in heaven. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom, was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. So Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Nimrod was also a king, as it says, in the beginning of his kingdom. So what was the beginning of his kingdom? Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh, and Shinar. So on this map, you'll see Babylon. I don't know if you can see that very well, but you'll see Babylon there to the middle right, and you see Erech to the southeast of Babylon. So you see the star right here with Babylon, and then Erech's right there, if you can see that. So Erech's to the southeast of Babylon. The Tower of Babel was probably very close to the city of Babylon on that map right there. So Babel, Babylon, they sound very similar, right? But notice where this kingdom is located. Do you see the Mediterranean Sea, Persian Gulf over there, the Red Sea? You see Egypt on the lower left, right? And then you see that area where Israel is, where Judah's shown. So you have the Mediterranean Sea on the west side of the map, Persian Gulf on the lower right, the Arabian Desert in the south. So if we put that, so keep this map right here in mind. If we put that on a map of today's world, you're going to see this right here. So it says, where is ancient Babylon located? So Babel and Babylon would have been in present day Iraq. So Babel and Babylon was a great city, but now, guess what it is? It's nothing. It's just ruins in a desert. So the name Nimrod is only seen four times in the Bible. That's it, four times. And two of those are in Genesis chapter 10, but yet people write all these books about Nimrod and who he was. So there's not much information about Nimrod, but people make up fairy tales about him. So look, Babel is a picture of Babylon. So Nimrod was king over the one world government with one language. That was his kingdom. One world. They were all together. So all these evil and wicked leaders in the world today, they want to go back to that. We want to have one world leader, one world government, one world religion. For example, the Pope, you know what the Pope wants? He wants a one world religion and a one world government. He wants to bring all the religions together and pray together. They've already been doing that for many years, trying to get it going. So the Pope, who acts as if he represents God, you know, he respects all religions. Does God respect all religions? No, he hates the other ones because they're all false. So look, that Pope, who's so great in everybody's eyes, right? He can't even understand Babel and Babylon in the Bible. God doesn't want everybody together like that. So God doesn't want a one world government where all religions are respected. He's the one that scattered them all out. God doesn't respect false religions. He hates false religions. He doesn't want us all speaking one tongue. But that's what everybody else wants. So, do you know why that is? Because God is the king of this world. He doesn't need anybody else acting like they're the one king of this world. So we don't need any other king of this world. We already have one. We have a heavenly king. So Nimrod and Babel is a picture of the Antichrist and his one world kingdom in Revelation. So God came down and destroyed Babel. He destroyed Babylon. It's not there anymore. And guess what else he's going to do in Revelation? He's going to destroy Babylon again. And who is Babylon? I don't know, but the United States is a pretty good candidate. So look, wouldn't you think God, he doesn't want a one world religion. He doesn't want a one world leader. Does he? How many times has he got to tell you that in the Bible? Over and over again. He shows us. He doesn't want those things. So why are we all going after that? Genesis 10, verse 11. Out of that land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah and Rezin. Between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. So a son of Shem was named Ashur. Out of that land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh and these other cities named Rehoboth, Calah, and Rezin. Rezin is a great city, but it's only mentioned once in the entire Bible right there in Genesis chapter 10. So there's not much more information on it. Genesis 10, continuing verse 13, and Mizraim begot Ludim and Anamim and Leabim and Naphtuhim and Pathruzim and Casluhim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. So Mizraim is another son of Ham. So at this point, I want a couple girls to come up here and hand out a table showing the Genesis chapter 10 genealogy. So can some of you come up here? There's a lot to hand out here tonight. Okay, it's going to take a while. Here, make sure everybody here gets one. And don't miss one person. So I had this on the screen, but it's not working. So once you get your tables there, I'm going to show you this. So if you go to the right, at the top, does everybody have yours? I know there's a lot to get to here. So look, if you go to the right at the top, you'll see Ham as a son of Noah. Did you get one?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, go to the right top, you see Ham as a son of Noah. Then look right below Ham, and you'll find Mizraim as a son of Ham. Did you find him?
Yeah.
So that's where we are right now in Genesis chapter 10. So notice that you see the Philistines come out of Casluhim, which is a grandson of Ham. So also keep in mind that their great-grandfather was who? Who was their great-grandfather? It was Noah. Just a great-grandfather. So do you think Noah had some family issues?
Oh, yeah.
His son Ham, right? Yeah, he did. Ham was a family issue all the way back to Noah. After everything that Ham witnessed, he caused all of those problems. He didn't care. So no matter what God shows some people, they won't care and they will never be saved. They rebel against God. So the first talk of the Philistines we see in Genesis chapter 10, but the next time we see it is in Genesis chapter 21, the Philistines. So let's see the next time we talk about the Philistines. Do you remember who the king of the Philistines was? So watch this, Genesis 21, verse 32. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba, who? Abraham and Abimelech. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. So they weren't at war right there. Abraham and Abimelech of the Philistines make a covenant over a well of water at Beersheba. If you look up Beersheba, it's in a lot of places throughout the Bible. Genesis 26, verse 8. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And do you remember they both told him, oh, that's not my wife. Yeah. Right? Abimelech both times. So we see tons of scripture concerning the Philistines in the Bible. 296 times in 248 verses for the Philistines. That's a big subject of the Bible, isn't it? So we see the most about the Philistines. Can you remember where you probably hear the most about the Philistines? It's in the book of 1 Samuel. So now you know where the Philistines came from, right? That should start making more sense to you. Genesis 10, verse 15. And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and this will be on your tables there, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. So look at your table again and see all of these under Canaan. So we see all the enemies of the children of Israel as descendants of who? Of descendants of Ham. Do you see that? They were all enemies of the Israelites. Hey, the Canaanites were cursed because of what Ham did to his father Noah. So the Canaanites are another big subject in the Bible. So all the people out there that are doing things like that, hey, you should be careful. It's going to last for years when God curses you. So the Canaanites in the Bible, 165 matches and 159 verses. Here's the last instance of the Canaanites in the Bible. Acts 13, verse 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. So who's that teaching right there? That's Paul teaching in the synagogues. God destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. You see how the spelling's a little different there? So you can't miss those like I almost did. So look, God destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. Well, what were those seven nations in the land of Canaan? Deuteronomy 7, all the way back there, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, and you can count these as I read them, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Remember, they split that land up in Joshua. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. And what does he tell them to do? And utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Well, they didn't do that, did they? They did show them mercy. They made covenants with them. So you see some of the same peoples mentioned here in this scripture as the sons of Canaan, if you look at your sheet. So we know that the Israelites, They didn't utterly destroy all of them as God commanded. That's a pretty clear commandment, right? They didn't do that. So let's keep going in Genesis chapter 10. And as you see, there are tons of topics and subjects to study in Genesis chapter 10. It's not an easy chapter because there's so much to go over in these chapters. Genesis 10, verse 19, and the border of the Canaanites, so it's going to tell us where their border was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. So it's telling us where they're at. So the Canaanites were in possession of the promised land. You see this map up here? That should be familiar. Well, the Canaanites were in possession of it. And God said, that's not yours. He says, I'm going to help you take it back, children of Israel. So the Israelites were supposed to take it back. God commanded them to take it back. And Joshua did his best, but he didn't get through all of it, did he? He says, you're old, Joshua. You didn't make it all the way through. But he was a man of war and kept fighting his whole life. So here's a map of the Canaanite nations. They are in the land of Canaan. So that's God's land for Israel. So remember, God cursed Canaan. Well, they had his land, and now they're going to get it. So here's another map of the tribes of Israel after they took the land back. But notice these before I flip it right here. You see the Philistines down there on the lower left, like towards Egypt, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Moabites over to the right. You know, Ruth was a Moabite. Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, Jebusites, Perizzites, more Canaanites up there, the Hittites, the Hivites, all of those up through there. Do you see them? Now I'm going to flip this and show you where the lands, the tribes of Israel, the land that they took over in about the approximate areas according to the Bible. And again, that didn't show up. So I need to check these a little bit better, the pictures, because I really wanted you to see that. But Judah would be in the south. Remember the Philistines? David was always fighting them. The land of Judah. So they took this land back. And you might have a map in your Bible showing you about where the tribes of Israel were and they took over their land. So if you can find that, you'll see what I mean. So look, the children of Israel, they didn't utterly destroy them all as God commanded them to do, did they? If they would have done what God said, hey, we wouldn't have a world like it is today. If we would all just do what God says, we wouldn't have a country like this with sodomites running everywhere, would we? No. We wouldn't have any of this kind of stuff. We wouldn't have thieves everywhere where you got to check your house at night. Make sure your alarm system's on. You got all your cameras on. You got thieves walking around trying to break into your house while you're sleeping. Right? We wouldn't have all of those problems. So they didn't utterly destroy them as God commanded them to do. So I had another map zoomed out showing Canaan and the possible location of Sodom and Gomorrah. So there was, you already saw where the Medes were, right? The Median kingdom that we see in Daniel. So the Persians and the Medes, the Babylonians, right? Chaldea was beneath the Medes and the Persians. Babylon was a little closer. So the Egyptians, right, were in southwest in Africa. And then what do you see up at the top of all this land? You see the Greeks and the Romans, right? With their islands and stuff around the Mediterranean Sea, and they're coming from the northwest. So that should get you closer in the book of Daniel. You can see all of these people coming down towards the promised land. Genesis 10, verse 20, these are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. So look, that was all the family of Ham. So you have a basic understanding of the sons of Ham from Genesis chapter 10. They were, in general, enemies of the children of Israel. Were all of them the enemies of God? No. But we all came from Noah and his three sons. They weren't different races. Right? They're coming from the same people. So they were different nations. Why were they different nations? Who formed all the different nations? God confounded their language and divided them into the nations. That's why it happened. So they lived in different areas, right? And you live in different areas, you're going to get different skin colors. If you put me on the equator, I'm probably going to be real bright red. A lot brighter than right now. So it doesn't matter when it comes to salvation. Now, does it? Does it matter who you are, where you live, where you come from? No, none of that matters for salvation. God gives everybody the choice to be saved. Genesis 10, verse 21, continuing, unto Shem, also the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. So this is where we learn in the Bible that Japheth is the elder son. He's the oldest son, even though he's not listed out like that in a lot of the Bible. He is the oldest son. So Shem is the father of all the children of Eber. So if you find that on your table, you'll see that. Shem is actually the great-grandfather of Eber. So if you look on your tables under Shem, right, go all the way down, you find Arphaxad, right, then Selah, Eber, and then Peleg over there. So Abraham is called the father to all those that believe throughout many generations. But we see that the Bible calls Shem the father of all the children of Eber. So Abraham is in this same line with Eber, right? Abraham is the 10th generation from Shem through Eber. So 10 down from Shem and you would find Abraham, which that table doesn't go all the way down to that. Continuing Genesis 10 verse 22, the children of Shem. So now we're at the children of Shem, Elam and Asshur and Arphaxad. You can see these on the table. And Lud and Aram and the children of Aram, Uz and Hul and Gether and Mash. And Arphaxad begot Selah and Selah begot Eber. So now we've moved on to Shem and his descendants. You'll see all of these in the table. Genesis 10 verse 25, continuing, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. So down to Eber, we see two sons born to him. Do you see that? Peleg and Joktan. So in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. What does that mean? The earth was divided. So is that where it just split apart? It's not talking about the actual earth, the ground. So in the very next chapter of the Bible, it's going to explain what that means. God divides the earth by confounding their language. That's what he says. He divides the earth by confounding their language. They were all one, and they were all gathered together at Babel. Genesis 11, verse 8. So into the next chapter. So the Lord scattered them abroad. This is dividing the earth. Scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. Hey, the dirt doesn't have a language. He's talking about the people of the earth, of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So when did the Tower of Babel occur? And when did God divide the nations? Well, he did this in the days of Peleg. That's what the Bible says. So you can actually calculate about how long this happened after the flood. So the Bible gives you all the information you need to calculate this. Genesis chapter 11 gives all those numbers. Peleg was born 101 years after the flood. So for in his days was the earth divided. So sometime when Peleg was living, the Tower of Babel division, that's when it happened. So there were only eight people on the earth after the flood, but they went forth and multiplied. Some people will say, well, there was only like 70 families. There was only, you know, a few hundred people. Hey, Peleg is the fifth generation from Noah. So there were thousands of people in the days of Peleg. You can kind of see that from this chart. There weren't millions upon millions, but God scattered those thousands. So the daughters, do you see them listed in that table? You think there wasn't any women? There was no daughters? No, they're not listed there. So we know that there's much more than what's listed there. There's a lot of the sons that aren't listed there either. But just with the sons that are listed, you can see how they multiply very fast with each generation. So look how Noah multiplied just from this table. Look, it just starts up there with Noah. And then look at all the people. All the sons and all the daughters are not listed. Genesis 10, verse 26. And Joktan begot Almadad and Shelef and Hazarmaveth and Jerah and Hadaram and Uzal and Dikla and Obal and Abimael and Sheba and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And you'll find that in the table. So we're going on with Joktan, who was Peleg's brother. Their father was Eber. And notice how Eber sounds like Hebrews. It's kind of the root of the word. So most of these names you don't see in the Bible except within the genealogies, most all of these. But we do see Ophir and Havilah in the Bible. But notice Cush also has a son named Havilah. So there's two Havilahs just in this table alone. So Ophir is mentioned as a land of gold within the Bible. Do you remember that? Seeing Ophir? 1 Kings 9, verse 27. In Hiram, Solomon's time, and Hiram sent in the navy, his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea with the servants of Solomon, and they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. 1 Chronicles 29, 4. You see Ophir there with gold? Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Do you think God knew the gold was already there? Yeah, it was all in His plans. 2 Chronicles 9, verse 10. And the servants also of Hiram, the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. Job 22, verse 24. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of their brooks. Isaiah 13, verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Who do you think is more precious than gold? This man. Jesus Christ is way more precious than any gold, than anything. Wisdom is far better than gold and rubies and anything you can think of. So we know that Ophir is related to the land of gold. And Ophir is a son of Joktan, right? And grandson of Eber. Joktan had 13 sons, right? That's a lot of sons. He had 13 sons listed. So they're multiplying pretty quickly in their generations, right? You have one man, 13 sons, and then each of those 13 sons have so many children. Think about that. You multiply really, really fast. So if we tempted to put Japheth, Shem, and Ham's descendants onto a map, I hope this one shows up. Let me read Genesis 10, verse 30 first, and it is going to show up. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. Right? So it's telling us where their dwelling was from. So if we tried to put it on a map where Japheth, Shem, and Ham, you should have a pretty good idea of already, right? Japheth, the Gentiles, like the Greeks, the Romans up on the north. Shem's more in the middle. Ham's more in Egypt, right? The children of Israel come from Abraham, from Shem. So if we try to do that, Japheth's in the red or pink looking at the top. Shem's in the middle there. And then Ham over in Africa. So do I know if that's 100% correct? No. But it at least looks realistic from what we know and how they were spreading out. So we know that the Gentiles came from Japheth. We know Egypt is related to Ham, so this makes sense. We know Shem spread through this area based on what Genesis chapter 10 just told us. So Genesis 10 verse 31, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So after the flood, Genesis chapter 10 tells us how the nations were divided, right? The nations weren't divided until after the flood. So when did that division happen? So it happened at the Tower of Babel. So God confounds their language and they divide, just as we've seen in Genesis chapter 10. So we're going to see more details of all of that within the next chapter, Genesis chapter 11. So remember, this chapter is very difficult with lots and lots of information. We could make tons and tons of sermons just in Genesis chapter 10. But I hope this sermon's helped you see how to study the Bible a little bit better. So look up the names and locations and learn how they were divided and where they went. And find the scriptures for each. And yes, it takes a lot of study time to make sense of that entire chapter and the whole Bible. But keep working on it. Keep reading it. Keep studying it. Notice all of these words, all of these names throughout the Bible. And then it all starts to come together. Little by little, God helps you. He gives you wisdom. Shows you the truth. And with that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the book of Genesis. Everybody reads the book of Genesis the most, and you know how many times, but they probably stop somewhere through here. But we want to keep going. It's not an easy book, and we need your help and your knowledge, your wisdom, to show us the truth throughout the book of Genesis. And when we can put all of this together, it helps us with the rest of the Bible to make sense of everything. And we want to make sure we have it all right. So please give us that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your words. And we know that you give wisdom to all those who ask liberally, like you're not trying to hold anything back. So we ask you for that as we study the Bible with everything that we have. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for all of us. And all we have to do is believe on His name. And thank you for making that so easy for us and coming to us and choosing us for eternal life and allowing us that opportunity. We thank you so much. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.